It's Terry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm so excited to have Diane Morrissey, one of my favorite food bloggers, and you were one of my co-hosts on the book tour.
The Ridgewood, New Jersey stop of your book tour. So fun.
Wasn't that a fun day?
It was a fun day. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I remember walking into the office and seeing you on your phone, and I took like 10 minutes of video of you on the phone because I was so thrilled to actually be seeing you in person. It's hysterical.
It was a great, great day. So let's talk a little bit. When was it we met? I know how we met, and we're going to tell that story, but when did that happen?
So last summer, June 30th, my Instagram account got hacked and deleted and taken over by somebody else. And we, you know, you try to contact the powers that be at Instagram to help you. And who the heck are those people anyway? Right. I don't know. There's a lot of them, I think, that work there. But anyway, hundreds of messages all went unanswered. And it was really discouraging. And then one day you came to my rescue. Somehow you found out about my plight of getting my account taken from me. And you were so good. And you tried to get people to rally behind me. And you didn't know me from a hole in the wall. So I think you found out about me from somebody, maybe a follower of yours.
I think it could have been Lala Lunch, or it could have been Cook Mom. It was some blogger who contacted me and said, did you know that this is going on?
Yeah.
Do you know her? And I was like, I don't know her, but I do have that Sagittarian thing where there's like, if there's an injustice or something, you know.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and you went on stories. And I'm like, oh, my kids found you first. They're like, Mom, there's this lady who's talking, because I didn't know about you at that time. And I was like, and then I saw your audience, and I'm like, oh my God, that she could help me, but why does she want to help me? So that was just really pivotal. And then you called me, and I was on the phone with Zach, and I was on the phone with you, and it was just out of the ordinary. You don't see a lot of people going out of their way for other people that way. Certainly in this business either, I don't think people are that helpful at all. So that was like such a wonderful thing to be, you know, a recipient of. And and then it all worked out, and I got I started up again my account. All those calls didn't do any good.
Nothing.
And I was, by the way, ready to give up because I lost everything and all my content and all my pictures, and I was pissed, and I'm like, oh, hell no. And my kids said, nope, you got to start up again, Mom. So because of them, I started up September 1st. I started a brand new account with zero followers and one picture, and I'm pretty proud, you know, almost a year, and it's, you know, it'll be at 90,000 soon.
So amazing, and you're so amazing, and I think, you know, one of the things that people love about you, I mean, in some ways, we're kind of similar gals, you know, but people love that you're just authentic, you're real, you're being who you are, you're excited about food, you're excited about eating, you're excited about mothering and life, and I just think you're such a positive light in such a crazy time. So we're kind of kindred spirits, I think.
I think so. In fact, every once in a while when I'm watching your stories, my husband, well, everyone knows your voice now, but at the beginning they're like, is that you? So there was something even in your voice that made my husband think that it was me. I was listening to my stories when I first started listening to you. But yeah, I mean, you know what? I think being positive is a choice.
Right.
You have a choice to be miserable or upbeat. And why the heck, if you're going to expend energy, why the hell would you – am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and do it.
Why the heck hell would you, you know, want to use that energy in a negative way to make you feel like crap?
Right.
So I choose to be positive. I just choose to.
My mom was the kind of person that I think her philosophy was, if you can make a positive difference for somebody else, like run out and do it right away. She was that kind of person. And I think she lived a pretty joyful life, you know, because she didn't. It's what she believed in.
Yeah. And, you know, my mom.
You still have her. You're so lucky you got your
folks. I'm so lucky. I have both of my parents. My mom is 86 and my dad is 87. God bless them both. And, boy, we're lucky. But my mother taught us manners and respect. Well, both my parents drilled that into us. But manners, like, you know, being cordial and being considerate and addressing somebody by their full name and, you know, rather my kids would call you, you know, Miss Turner, not Terry. That's just how. So my mom drilled that into us, but also that positivity and being cheerful. And trust me, I'm not always in a good mood. You know, of course, I'm not always in a good mood. I go on rants. But for the most part, yeah, I do choose to be positive for the most part.
And what do you do, because of course there are the haters that Trump. I mean, we're doing what we're doing.
Yep.
You've got over, what do you have, 100,000?
No, I'll be at 90, I think, in a week or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've got, going to be on, probably hit 300,000 today. Yep. And so many people love and appreciate it. I mean, it's 98% of the people. It's like they could not be more effusive, more kind, more lovely. But you get that 2%. And how do you, let's talk about it. What do you do about that 2%?
Well, don't cross me.
Right.
Don't cross. That's the Italian in me. You know, and I hide it really well behind the mom of six, kids. But don't cross me. And it doesn't take much to piss me off. And so I get the sarcastic, comments. And first of all, my first instinct is why? If you're going to take the time to write something, why? Just for no reason, why? Why? I think people have way too much time on their hands. But my instinct is to come back with a really sarcastic response. My kids say, no, Mom, you got to, you have to be nice. But I'm like, that's, but I want people to know. And I'll block them.
Yeah.
And I won't think twice about blocking them. I don't need that.
Right.
I don't want that.
I mean, we're here to have a great time.
That's it.
We love talking about food and eating and community and people.
That's it.
If people want to go along for that. So I definitely will push back, too. I mean, I can be great, but it's like, do not come for me.
Nope.
Unless I call for you, because I will have no problem.
Right.
Pushing back. But someone's like, well, we really don't want you to be doing this. We think you should be doing this.
And
right. It's like, an example, my daughter Lucy, is dating a woman, and I, very proud LGBTQ+
yep,
mom, went to the parade, and I showed, just like I would have if I was going to whatever, a few pictures of that. And someone
said, I saw them, they were great.
What is what is this propaganda?
Uh-huh.
I was like, propaganda? I'm really sharing my life, and, we just want food stories. And I was like, I am more than one thing. I'm a mother. Absolutely. And I'm sharing what I'm joyful about. And if that resonates with you, that's fantastic. And if for whatever reason it isn't, I understand, but I'm not going to be changing anytime soon.
No. But that's why you are who you are. And that's why you have the following that you have, because people love you for being authentic to who you are. And of course, Lucy's a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you're going to have that. And I have my kids on also, too. And I have my parents on. Not my dad as much, but my mother. And actually, people, I think she's more popular than I am. Whenever I put her on my stories,
she's
people
so
want
darling.
More of that.
Yeah.
But that's who we are.
Yes.
So, I think for the most part, 99% of your fans want to see
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, yes.
All part of you, not just in the kitchen.
Right. But I think it's that thing of just like understanding that it might not be someone's thing. I mean, and I definitely feel 99%. It's like the most beautiful letters and notes and just
of
positive.
Of course, yes.
And there's always that other part. And that's just, it's what comes along with this, journey that we're on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny. I used to run large grocery stores and, you wouldn't believe how many emails I would get on a daily basis from customers bitching and moaning about the tiniest little thing. And I'm like, seriously, I've been a consumer for how many years, and I've never written one of those letters, and probably could have written hundreds myself. But who cares? I'll go in and talk to a manager, but I won't sit down and write an email for something very small.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. I think you're going to get that type of person who just is a moaner. You're not going to do anything to be able to make them happy.
Yes. So how did your journey get you here? I mean, clearly you're a lifelong passionate foodie. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. And I think that's one of the things that resonates with so many of my followers. When I got married 26 years ago, I didn't know how to cook. I always baked when I was young. I always, I dabbled in cooking, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I got married and on my honeymoon got pregnant with our first baby. And, Food Network literally started the next year. So, and then I proceeded to have six children and all one after another. So I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time and I watched Food Network all day long and I taught myself how to cook. Just from watching those shows, it was fascinating to me. I always loved cookbooks. I loved magazines. I never took naps when my kids were little, like you're supposed to when the babies are sleeping. I always went into the kitchen and it's creative for me. But that is because I'm a frustrated artist. I went to art school in college. I studied graphic design. And so I'm artsy. I've always been artsy, but I've never practiced art. So my creativity has always come out in my culinary. It's art. Food is art to me. It's beautiful. I think food is beautiful and food is art. So that's literally how I look at it. You think so too?
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't think that because I always think, oh,
when
you
compose your platters, it's art. It's
it is, right.
Whether or not you think it is, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've come to know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is. And it's our expression of it for sure.
That's it. Now, that's part of, like, my angst is, like, okay, I know this is what I'm making. And, like, when you put your platters together, you have all those components. Now it comes to assembling. And that's the real creative part.
Yes, I love
like,
that
the easy part was cooking it all. But that is where, like, the fun comes out because it turns into a beautiful picture.
I mean, you are a really talented You have, you're prolific. You have a lot. I mean, sometimes you're posting two or three times a day, right?
Three times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How do you even, like, I can't even conceive of that.
Yeah. Clearly I'm not in Connecticut right now, so right. I'm not in my kitchen,
right.
But I stockpile pictures.
Yeah.
So there are days when I literally do nothing but cook,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I have a lot of people that I cook for. I have a lot of children. I cook for my, you know, elderly parents. So this food goes, yep. It gets eaten and
yes.
consumed very easily. So it's not a big deal that I cook as much as I do because it all gets eaten.
And do you have a window? I mean, because it seems like very natural.
Yeah,
light.
It's all natural.
You have a window,
lights.
But what I'm
yeah.
saying is.
Yeah, one of the walls in my kitchen is all light, is all windows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and then there's a shelf on it. And literally, if you could see, the shelf is about a foot wide and that's where everything gets taken.
I notice you do a lot of things like in cheat pans and things in platters.
Yep.
You have a really beautiful touch.
Yeah.
And there's so much sort of love in your work. I admire it.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, it's funny. I think at the beginning, you could tell the difference, right? The how your pictures evolve.
Yes.
It used to be more perfect. Everything was perfect. But now I like the spills. I like the extra herbs thrown all over.
Mm-hmm.
I like the, you know, a spoon with stuff on it and splatters, and it's not perfect. And that's what I like now because nothing is perfect. And a lot of times when I, you know, put those platters together, I always put a picture, then when I'm done photographing it, I'll throw it all in a big bowl and like mix it up. And then I'll take a picture of it and put it on my stories. And I tell my followers that this is what my family is really getting.
So, for example, what would you toss that around? I mean, the egg thing you did, you wouldn't toss all that in a platter.
No, like yesterday I did, what the heck did I do? I did like a halloumi salad mm-hmm. with grilled peaches and then like a cantaloupe melon tomato salad as part of that platter. And then I added lentils and arugula. So it was like a whole bunch of stuff together and it was crafted really pretty on the platter. But as soon as I was done photographing it, I threw it all in a bowl.
I like that. I think that's great.
And that's in a big silver bowl and that's what my kids are eating out of.
I like that. You know, it's funny, even though I've been having this, you know, we've had our year anniversary of the podcast,
mm-hmm.
Is that
happy anniversary.
I thank you. I almost never have food bloggers on. I mean, it's like I had a farmer, I had an Olympian.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so it's actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have you here. And it was fun because you got to come over even just for a minute and
yes,
sort of
I did.
See my setup.
Yep.
And
that kitchen, I feel like, and Maria, please. I was like, I was fangirling over her.
Oh, yeah, she's so great.
It's hysterical. She did, you did a story of her cleaning was it a Le Creuset or a Staub? I don't know what it was. And she showed how to clean first of all, I need Maria in my house.
Everyone
I need her.
Does, right.
We all need a Maria to clean our Le Creusets.
Yeah.
But I was fascinated because I watched her doing it and I took notes and I went and cleaned all of mine. I like seeing her too.
So here's the great part. It was actually Joanna that did that.
Oh, was it Maria?
No, Joanna.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Joanna has sort of worked for me in some
capacity.
Does
she look like Maria?
for like 15 years. And really, you know, it just comes in the mornings and sort of helps pull things together. But when I ended up doing the book, it was like, well, there needs to be someone else that we can really, you know, bring on to carry everything forward because we're creating content. We're working with brands. And so Maria, you know, she actually did some cleaning for me. But she was just one of those people I saw her and thought, oh, this girl could do so much more. She's so smart. So Maria is just amazing because it's like today we're shipping out, you know, we have a giveaway and we're shipping out things. And
yeah.
She had to go to Middle Eastern store to get spices. And then we were giving away some seconds to crumbles for marinated onion bowls.
Yeah.
And whatever it is you give Maria, it's like the list and like these 12 things. You come back, it's like an hour later,
yeah.
like Maria's done. You're like, you're done?
Yeah.
I mean, she's, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
she's
I don't have Maria, but I have my kids.
Yeah.
So if I gave them a list, but if I gave them a list with 20 things on it, I think 2 days later, like one through five would be done.
Yeah. That's right.
Ugh.
It's the difference between paying people and being...
That's the difference between my kids and Maria.
And being related. So tell me about mothering. What's your philosophy? What's that journey been like for you?
Yeah.
How much do you like being a mom?
Well, right. So I'm one of six. My mom, it's funny, my mom, I'm like a fourth generation, thank you, of six children, three and three. So my mom had six, and I had so much fun. My father was a Catholic coach, high school coach and teacher. So there, we did not have a lot, but we never knew it. And my brothers and sisters were my best friends and still are. So literally, Terry, I said, from the time I was little, I remember, I want to have six kids. I want to have six kids. And I believed it. And who says that?
Right.
But I did, and I meant
me.
It. No. And the amazing thing is that I found a guy crazy enough to go along with me. And I told him that I wanted six kids, and God was good to us, you know, because two of my sisters had to do in vitro. My husband and I would look at each other across the room, and I'd be pregnant.
Right.
So, you know, I'm grateful, but I always wanted a large family because, you know, it's a huge support system, and long after John and I are gone, they'll have each other, God willing, and that brings me so much comfort.
Yeah,
and they love each other. So we did. We got pregnant on our honeymoon, and it's very funny because I come from a strict religious, you know, Italian father. We didn't go away or just travel. Oh, my God, no. So I remember our honeymoon. We went to Hawaii, and we said we wanted his family, but we were going down to the beach in Maui, and he said, we were in the elevator, and he goes, you know, Di, I know we said we wanted to have a family right away, but we're having such a good time. What do you say we have one more big trip like this? And then, you know, start thinking about a family. That night at dinner, I burst out crying. I said, what would you say if I think I told you I think I'm already pregnant? I had no reason to think I was, but damned if I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he burst out crying at the table, and he said, you'd make me the happiest man in the world.
Oh, my God. I kind of want
to
cry about
that. So needless to say,
so
we've not been back to Hawaii. because 9 months later, number one came, and then we kept going. I was pregnant the first 10 years of my marriage. And she turned nine, and we had our sixth baby. So, yeah, we haven't, Terry, been on a plane together since our honeymoon.
Wow.
How crazy.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I conceived both of my kids in Hawaii.
Did you?
Yes, and they're born 4 years, but like 4 days apart.
Wow.
So something about Hawaii.
Yeah.
What's your mothering philosophy? Like, are you the disciplinarian? Are you the fun one?
I am a ball buster.
Mm-hmm.
I am a ball buster.
I don't find that shocking.
No, I am not the fun parent. And people are surprised when they hear that because I think I'm funny as hell. I like sarcasm. But when it comes to child rearing, I am by the book. And it's respect, and it's the same exact way I was raised. My father, very tough, and my parent, very much like my father. And it wouldn't surprise you, I wanted to go into the military when I was young, too. You know, in high school, I wanted to go into the military. I like that discipline. I like that strength. I like that strong, you know, regimented way. I'm not going to say I'm black and white, because I do get gray, but when it comes to certain things, respect and obeying and listening, there is no black. It's black or white.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a ball buster. The funny thing I used to say, when I used to take care of six kids, you know, who were very close in age, a year and a half, they came apart, and take care of them all day. And then my husband would be home within 30 seconds. Someone's bleeding from their head, you know, because everyone started wrestling and throwing kids against the couch and someone's bleeding and crying. And I'm like, seriously? You're home 30 seconds. He's the fun parent.
One of the things that I really like, something that you said to me that it was like, it was on the tour. It was like, there's one of the things I walked away with that I was like, oh, that was a really huge moment for me. And I'm still feeling into it because it's so touching to me.
Yeah.
You're Catholic, right?
I am Catholic.
And I like to say I'm a recovering Catholic.
Yes.
this idea that you are, from the time your kids have been little, you have been praying for their future spouses.
Yep. Praying for their spouses, whoever or whatever they are.
Right.
They're out there somewhere. God willing, they're out there somewhere. You want your kids to be happy, right?
Right.
So, yeah, think about it, right? I have six children. And really only one of them is in any kind of a relationship right now. So, you know, I think the biggest heartbreak would be as a parent who takes care of and loves and cherishes and keeps their child safe and protects them from harm and hurt, you know, all their life, only to find somebody who doesn't cherish them the way we do. How heartbreaking is that as a parent? So I've always, from the time they were born, prayed for their spouses because they're out there somewhere. And I pray that those people, whoever they are being loved and cherished and respected and being taught, you know, the right way so that when they meet my kids, they're going to be able to love them and cherish them as much as, you know, John and I have.
Oh, I love that.
But isn't it?
It's so powerful.
I mean, it's just powerful.
Yeah. I was raised Catholic. I'm a spiritual person, but I wouldn't say that I'm religious.
Yeah.
But I really, I definitely think I'm a person of faith, and I really believe in the power of prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also really believe in the power of positivity and the power of doing everything you can to make a difference in whatever way you can. That what we put out, we get back.
With that faith that they are going to find somebody who deserves them. It's just something that I've always carried with me, and it makes me feel good.
And how have you maintained your faith all of these years? You know, we live in a world where it's a little bit challenging.
Yeah. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed to still have my parents at their age, and I have no better examples of faith than my parents. They are very strong in their faith, and I mean unwavering, like in mass every day.
Wow.
At their age, you know, they can't really get around well, but they go to church. So it was always very easy to be filled with faith when you have them as an example.
Yeah, right.
Don't get me wrong, there are things that I question, and I think questioning is healthy, and I think some of my kids are going through that now where they question things, and that's fine. You know, you have to. I don't want to take anything at face value. You have to be able to question things. But having something to ground you and to keep you rooted and grounded in your faith, I think, is just – I don't know how people survive without something to hold on to like that.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Because we all have challenges. And the first thing I go to is I will pray.
Yes.
When shit hits the fan, and I feel sorry for people who maybe I don't know how people exist without that.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. One thing my mom always said to me, she's gone, well, it's going to be 20 years this year, is that each kid is going to go through a very difficult period. She said, each kid's going to go through and take you through an awful period. And she said, and believe me, just because you're not through it doesn't mean that it might not happen at 25. Like, you don't know when it's going to happen. But each kid's going to take you through a difficult period. I thought that was powerful.
Have you gotten it? Isn't that awful? I don't want to think about
that
too
much. Well, I don't mean awful like they're going to take you through something difficult, you know. Or you might think, oh, this one won't or whatever.
Ugh.
But
oh, they
but
all do.
Yeah.
I mean, I have six, and they're all different, and they all, that funny thing, about who's your favorite. I said, who's my favorite? Whoever's nicer to me today.
Right.
That's who my favorite is.
Right.
Because some of you are son of a guns.
Right.
When you want to be. And then I don't even want to see you.
Yes.
Go over there for a very long time.
Yeah, that's the thing. When so much is defined by being a mother, and I always like to say it's my north. And then when your kids leave, it's like, it's shocking in a way. Like, it's like, oh, wow, then that has changed, to go from I'm a mother and that's what I do to, my kids are gone. But I, the truth is, I really love my life with my kids living across the country. I love seeing them. I love when they come see me. I love to travel with them.
Yeah.
I love the time we spend together. And I think we prioritize time.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you got to have a life beyond your kids.
It's
because
so true.
You're hanging on to them by a noose. It's like, love and validate me. That's no way to love a child.
No way. And it's funny you say that, Terry, because I remember I was a stay-at-home mom, but I was catering too. And I had all six of the kids. And then, how you do your little girl's hair? You do their hair pretty. I used to love lining my three daughters up and doing their hair, and I always did great hair. And then one day, one of them said, nope, I want to do my own hair. And I swear to God, this happened. And I think it was my daughter, Mary. And I remember being resentful. I was pissed, you know? I'm like, what do you mean? No. And I yelled at her. I'm going to do your hair. And then we got into a fight. She was just being independent. But I didn't, like, it was such a stupid small thing. But to me, it was huge. Now you don't need me anymore to do your hair.
Right.
And that's, I swear to God, that was my defining moment. And that's when I went to start working at Whole Foods. Because I knew I was heading down a path of they're getting older. You know, they're getting more independent, which is what we want, of course. But I was resentful.
So I want to ask you about marriage. You've been married for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be happily married.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is your secret to that? And please be forthright.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm an excellent cook. I think any guy would want to hang out with me because I'm going to feed you well.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. First of all, I married the best guy around. I mean, we just had our 26th wedding anniversary a couple of weeks ago. And I swear to God, if you could say after 26 years of marriage that you still married the best guy around, you know you made a good decision. But again, I was very aware of that. My husband's amazing. But I'm, you know.
Well, who's in charge?
I'm in charge, and it drives my father nuts, you know, because he doesn't think. But I'm not saying that. My husband is a very strong man, but we're very different personalities. I'll talk to a wall, talk to this wall all day and be happy. He won't.
Right.
He won't say much. But thank God there's not two of me. I don't need two of me.
Right.
So
exactly.
we level each off, you know, each other off very well. Him and I tell you right now, Terry, we parent the same.
Oh, that's so important.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I think the biggest mistake you can make if you're one of my kids is being disrespectful to me because he'll be all over you.
Right.
So, you know, we think the same way. Our kids we weren't good cop, bad cop. We were both on the same page. And boy, that helped us out because I have friends that don't parent the same way, and it creates a lot of problems in their marriage. I still think he's adorable and sexy as hell. My kids, if they listen to this, they're going to be horrified.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just a great guy, you know. And we share the same everything, really.
Same values,
yep,
and yeah,
we do.
And family is what's really important.
It's everything.
I like that. What do they say? Happy life, happy wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it happy wife, happy life? Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Now, I will say, though, it's funny. Before him, I was dating somebody for a bunch of years, and I wasn't being treated the way I knew I should be. And but I couldn't stay away from that person. I kept going back,
yeah.
And I started praying because my mother found my father by praying for him. And I started praying to give me the strength to stay away. Give me the strength to stay away and bring me somebody who deserves me. Because I knew what I deserved.
Right.
And I swear to God, I broke up with him for the last time on a Wednesday. And I went to a bar 2 days later with my brothers and sister and met my husband. That was a Friday. 2 days later. And the second I met my husband, I knew I was going to marry him. It was that simple. And
How long did it take him to figure out?
I'm sure it was pretty.
Yeah.
He was really drunk. So yeah. he probably doesn't remember much. But I've said ever since that he was sent to me by God, because it was that I knew, and I never went back, which is what I always did. So he was sent to me from God.
That's a beautiful story.
It's true.
I met Roy 6 weeks after I was married to Patrick and Lucy's dad, who was still my good friend, and I'm really happy he's my co-parent. We actually like each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when our marriage ended, and that was definitely sad for me,
yeah.
It was actually 6 weeks later that I met Roy, you know, and it's not like I was ready for, you know, I don't think I wasn't at that point, you know, because I had my kids, and it's a little different to bring someone in your life when you have kids.
Where did you meet him?
I actually met him at a restaurant. I was sitting there for lunch at the bar, and he was also. And we struck up a conversation, and we've been rolling together ever since. So
you were open to that in such a short time, 6 weeks later.
I was.
That's
the truth
good.
Was, I was. I think we should all be ready for love.
Yeah.
And I don't think if you go, oh, I'm, you know, I'm whatever age this is, it's all over for me. I think, no, in life, we just embrace it and go for it and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was absolutely meant to be. He is undoubtedly the love of my life. And I also want to say I really feel fortunate to have a fantastic father of my children that that gave me that gift. So I'm super grateful to him.
That's awesome.
And it all worked out.
Yeah, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different path. Right. And nobody's right. Nobody's wrong.
So inspiration, where do you get your inspiration? I mean, like I said, you're prolific. Roy follows very few people, but I was like, oh, you got to follow her.
Stop it. Does Roy follow me?
Yeah, and he's a home cook. I want you to know he's the best cook I know. He's a home cook.
I've heard you say that a lot.
He started cooking for his family with his brother when he was like 7 years old.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that can put dinner on the table, and he prefers cooking.
Yeah.
He prefers, like, at night, that's the way he unwinds.
Yeah.
I cook all day, and then I'll say, do you want me to bring this, or do you want me to bring that? He usually says no, and then he likes to cook, and he likes to cook for me. And it's so sad for him because I don't know how to do the dishes. So you think he'd, you know.
And he doesn't mind cooking for you.
He loves cooking for
me. See, that's adorable. Yeah. I know. You had a tough day the other day, or I don't remember. You came home and he gave, well, he made, I don't remember what he made, but the baked potato. I'm like, how cute is that?
Oh, he makes great stuff.
Your baked potato, baked potato is what you love.
Yes.
So he knew you had a hard day and he made you a baked potato. Yes. I thought that was adorable.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I do. I love it.
I kind of need a Roy, too, I think, to cook for me at night. Who I need Maria and I need Roy.
There you go. I mean, I think one of your kids could become Roy.
Ugh, I don't. Oh, God, no. They are not on track to becoming Roy. None of them. Trust me.
This was one of the things on one of our, we'd been kind of seeing each other for about 6 months. And at some point he invited me over and he made this potato cake, which was like, and it takes a long time to make. It's like La Mie Louis from Paris. And it's just butter and potatoes. And it was this cake. There's no gluten or anything, but it's just really butter and potatoes. And he does something so that it comes together like this potato cake. It was like literally one of the best things I've ever eaten.
Forget about it.
So I said, oh, this is so wonderful. And I said, it was sort of like, have you made this often? And he said, and he has this article that it was like 20 years old, quite literally. And I said, oh, have you made it before? And he's like, oh, no. He said, I'd never found anybody worth making it for.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. And that's when I knew. I was like, oh, no, I am in love with this guy. That is the kind of thing I want to hear.
That's what everybody wants to hear.
So where do you get your inspiration from? I mean, are you, is it magazines? Is it Instagram?
Of course.
Yeah.
I like pretty things. I love, you know, I'm attracted to pretty things. So, images, I constantly look at them everywhere. So, yeah, magazines, Instagram, the web, of course, books. I love cookbooks. When my kids were little, you know, we had one desktop computer in our house, and I used to be able to go to the library and put them at the bank of computers. That was a great summer activity for me because it was air conditioned and there were six computers in a row and it shut them up for a long time. And I used to just take books out of the library. And so I've always looked at cookbooks. I get inspiration from looking at other bloggers, from you, from other people. But I also love seasonality. I think that's from, you know, working in the retail food business for so long. You're always thinking about seasons, four seasons ahead. So I cook seasonally, and I love to see what's trending and what's new. And so I'm constantly – that's what relaxes me. I'm not easy to relax, but looking through food stuff, is the one thing that I absolutely love to do.
And I have to ask you this because people ask me this, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not very good at relaxing either. How do you keep up with all the messages? I mean, direct messages, and how do you keep up with all of that?
Isn't it hard?
It's a lot. I mean, it is. It's a lot. I do it, but I don't even know going forward how I can continue to do it.
You do it. You friggin' do it better than anybody. And with your size following, you have more than three times my following, and you're better than anybody. But it takes a tremendous amount of time. And, it bothers me. I know it's part of it because I think that's part of building your brand and connecting with people. And people appreciate when you take the time to respond, right? How many times you get that answer saying, oh, my God, I can't believe you actually responded to me.
Of course, right.
You know, and it's like, of course, you know. But I don't like it, conversely, when my kids say, Mom, your face is always in your phone.
Yes, right.
Oh, my kids are home.
Yeah.
And I go to bed really late because I'm looking at my phone. And what am I doing? I'm not looking at, you know, Jersey Shore updates. I'm answering messages. You know, because I feel like that's what we owe to our followers.
Yeah, it's always for me. It's always the trick.
It's hard.
How does one do that? So what's next for you? I mean, can you say when you're in your life right now, it's like, what are you giving birth to? What's next for you?
Yeah.
What are you excited about? What are you pushing into?
Well, you know how this all sort of fell into my lap very quickly and grew very, very quickly. So I'm still a caterer in my mind, but opportunities are coming to me now because my audience is growing and my following is getting bigger. So for the very first time, Terry, I just put a media kit together, mm-hmm. you know, but now I have something to give out to people because, but to be honest with you, I've been approached to do some fun projects. You know, can I see myself in some capacity on TV, in some cooking show? Absolutely.
You'd be phenomenal.
Yeah, because, you know, I used to be a teacher. I was an art teacher. I taught all six of my kids art in grammar school. So I have that teaching mentality. And I love food. And quite frankly, I'm not afraid in front of a camera. And I like to have fun and be sarcastic, and I think it'd be a fun gig. So there's a couple of fun things that we're throwing around.
Okay, we cannot wait to see. I mean, what I love about you is that when I said you want to be on a podcast, people are like, "Oh yeah, we'll do it over the phone." I'm like, "No, we actually don't do it over the phone." Part of the magic is I love being here at Cards Against Humanities. Love Jax.
Oh, this is recording. This is the most amazing space.
Isn't it incredible?
Literally, I want to sit here for the rest of the afternoon.
And I like sitting across from somebody and really having a conversation. You know, I mean, it's just really, really nice. So I like that. And I've, of course, been approached to, can you do your podcast with us? And we'll do it all over this way. But I just feel like there is a magic to the one-to-one. And so much what we do in social media is virtual.
Yeah.
That having that opportunity. And I love, you know, it's typically on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, you know, changing what I wear. Like, I went out of the kitchen. I changed what I wore. What did I wear?
You didn't change your shoes. You still have
cooking
shoes on. I
forgot my shoes. And, you know, run out and do something and turn off the phone. It's so good for me.
Well, you said it. I'm like, hell yes, I'm going to hop a plane from Connecticut to Chicago to do it. I was shits and giggles.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to do it.
I love it. Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
This is our second time, and who knows? I mean, I hope that you do a book and do a book tour and invite me to be your in-conversation person.
Oh, forget about it.
You are really a prolific person when it comes to food.
What do you mean when you say that?
There's so much. I mean, you have so many different ideas, and there's so much content you create.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like a lot.
It's
you know?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah. And I do have that sense of, like, the content needs to be perfect, and this in the picture. And, you know, I've started photographing from Roy's house because he does not have great light at all.
Yeah.
And I started being like, you know what? I'm going to show this stuff that isn't, you know, he does not have that fantastic window that I have.
Yeah.
I use all natural light anyway. But the reality is,
I saw your window.
All natural light is not equal. I have fantastic natural light. Roy does not. You know, I have beautiful props. I have beautiful things. He doesn't have that. And so it's just being like, yeah, I'm going to photograph some of this weekend food over the, you know, we've got a beautiful oriental rug. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to do that. And because I always feel that need for things to really be perfect. And
well, yeah, of course.
But your short-term really is perfect. It's so good.
Well, yeah, you want your images to be pretty. Of course you do, right? You like pretty things, but some are more perfect than others. And some days I'm like, I stress about it. I'm like, F it. Yeah. I'm putting it up. And I know which pictures are, which I just threw up to throw up and which ones are better. But do you think about food constantly?
I think about food a lot, but I mean, or I think about No Crumbs Left a lot, but
yeah,
in relation to, is it the podcast or, you know, every week I do Friday Favorites. So it's like every week I'm curating a newsletter.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work.
I know.
And then it's like I'm working on the Whole30 Recipes takeover. So I'm thinking about content for that. And I'm going, would I do another book? And if I did, I'm shelving away a few little recipes for that.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about cooking of the season. And I'm thinking all of the time in relation to all of this.
Of course.
And of course. You know, I'm writing notes of like, oh, gosh, you know, this is what I'm going to do here or, you know, ideas for the future. So
do you have notebooks? How do you keep yourself organized?
I keep really on my Apple phone.
You have 14 phones in front of you.
Yeah, I have two. I have two just to handle the business.
Yeah.
And then we have a third just for stories because we have so many stories that they don't want to populate. So when we go to Whole30 Recipes, we have to have a phone that we know is going to work that day.
Yeah.
And I'm doing some of my stories ahead of time. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just how we all do it. So how do people find you?
I'm on Facebook at Diane Morrissey, and it's 2 R's, 1 S, Morrissey, and on Instagram at Diane Morrissey. It's my name. And I that's funny. I didn't want to do anything kitschy, you know, because that's not me.
Right.
I'm pretty straightforward, and I figured, you know, how more straightforward than my name.
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's a brand. It's a really good idea just to have your name. You know, we got going with No Crumbs Left, and there's no turning back now, so.
You've done pretty well for yourself, Terry.
I think it's worked out. Lucy named me. So thanks for coming.
So
for
much
being
fun.
Here. We're going to go have dinner tonight, you and I.
Yes.
And if anyone's looking for me, come over and find me. No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Facebook, or the blog. Have a great day.